Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, we'll also kind of go over everything that has to go into this year's draft lottery, because in past years, it's been pretty much the same since, I think, 2016 was when the first year of this kind of implemented its new style with the top three picks. This year is a little different, obviously, because of how the coronavirus pandemic impacted the rest of the season and the seven teams that did not make the playoffs and so on and so forth. We'll kind of catch you up with that. We'll give you the Sabres odds. We'll get you some of the top prospects in this year's draft. Really excited again to speak to Steve Cornianos. He's at the Draft Analyst on Twitter. He also writes for the Sporting News. As he will come up at 7:30, we'll talk about the top of the draft class. We'll also get you the latest on just overall in general, maybe what the Sabres approach should be towards the draft, and maybe you know, if they end up with the 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th pick, should the Sabres trade it, or should they just stand pat, take the player that's there, because obviously this year's draft is going to be a pretty good one. And then again, at 8 o'clock, right as the draft lottery is about to get underway, we'll get you the results live on WGR. We'll see if the Sabres end up winning one of the top three picks in this draft class, and we will talk it out with you. You're more than welcome to join us this evening here on WGR by phoning us up at 803-0550. If you need our toll-free number, that's 1-888-550-2550. You can tweet us at WGR550. I'm on Twitter as well, at BJWilsonWGR. Or you can text us, and our text number is different now than it has been in years past. All you have to do is just text our regular phone line number. That's 803-0550 with the 716 area code. So here we are, 2020 NHL Draft Lottery. We don't know when the draft is going to take place as of now. There was some thought that the NHL draft could have taken place earlier this month virtually, but those plans kind of fell through shortly after they were kind of brought about. They didn't get anything finalized. So the draft will take place once the continued season is over. The continued season is expected to pick back up on July 31st and end sometime in, I'm guessing, late September, early October. So then at that point, we might have a late October, early November draft. Free agency would start at that point. The trade market can completely open. I know that the seven teams that didn't make the 2014 play-in tournament can make moves, including the Sabres. So they could trade with any of the San Jose Sharks, Anaheim Ducks, New Jersey Devils, Detroit Red Wings, Ottawa Senators, and also the San Jose Sharks. So they could trade with any of those teams. They can make moves now if they truly want to, if they could agree upon something with any of those teams. They'll have to wait to trade with any other team until after the play-in tournament and the everything is completed, the Stanley Cup Finals completed. But certainly an interesting, different look now because of the fact that, you know, hey, we're just waiting for hockey to come back. The Sabres season is over, but there is going to be hockey again. We don't know where the hockey is going to take place. The NHL is not decided on the hub cities as of right now. The thought is that Vegas could be preparing to be one of the two cities, and the other city could come down to Edmonton and Toronto. And today there were some varying reports that the Toronto or Edmonton decision could be a 50-50 decision to come down to it. Could be both of them. Maybe Vegas doesn't get one of the cities. But as of right now, it is thought to be that Vegas is going to be one of the cities that the teams will play in, and then Edmonton or Toronto might be the other one. Which, you know, Toronto would be a good idea. It's the site of the Hockey Hall of Fame. A lot of hockey that happens in and around Toronto. And it would be pretty cool. Just as long as these cities can contain the coronavirus, obviously with the escalated spikes in COVID-19 cases, especially here in the United States. Certainly that's very, very concerning. I'm concerned personally for leagues like the NBA to get back underway because they're going to be having to go to Orlando, Florida, and Florida is a COVID-19 hotbed right now. Similar to how New York was when this whole thing kind of started in New York City, and then it eventually gradually made its way to Buffalo. And now that's happening in Florida. Cases are skyrocketing. Everything's kind of going to you-know-what down there with safety and everything like that. I think that Florida officially today made the decision that they're not going to be serving alcohol at bars anymore. So certainly some concerning issues when it comes to the return of play of sports like baseball and basketball and even football, I guess, if you want to put it. We're still a little ways away from that. But certainly hockey, they're going with two destinations. Toronto and Canada, they seem to be able to have the numbers being contained pretty well. Also, the same thing kind of with Vegas, from my understanding. I know Arizona is another hotbed, too, of COVID-19 cases. I'm not entirely sure what the status is of Las Vegas, but we'll see there. But certainly, it seems like the NHL, while there's certainly some concerns going around, we'll see. We'll see how everything kind of pans out. But here we are tonight, NHL Draft Lottery, again, is going to get underway in about an hour. We'll carry it live here on WGR. We'll get the instant analysis, I guess, of where each team is going to pick. We should know where the Sabres pick tonight. The only things that we may not know is if one of the teams that are in the qualifying round happen to win the draft lottery. We'll get to that in a little bit because I got some thoughts on just how this draft lottery format is going to go about tonight. But the only thing that we probably will not know is if one of the designated teams that are Team A, Team B, Team C, Team D, so on and so forth, if one of those teams win one of the top three picks, we won't know who those teams are until the end of the play-in qualifying round. When those teams lose, those teams become eligible for phase two of the draft lottery, and then they will be selected for that designated pick that won in the draft lottery in this phase. So tonight's phase one. Every team is in it. All seven that didn't make the play-in round, and then all eight that have yet to be determined. If the three teams that are number one, two, three are the seven teams that didn't make the play-in round, then there's no phase two. You don't worry about phase two. There's no other draft lottery that comes into play. All the picks are finalized. If one of the teams or multiple teams that were not in or that are in the playoff picture in the play-in round, they don't call it playoffs, I don't know why, but still, one of those teams do win, then they have the phase two, and all of those teams that are in that phase two will have the same odds to win that pick or picks. Because I guess there could be multiple teams that win. Worst case scenario, obviously, would be three of the eight teams that didn't make or that are in the play-in round win those picks. So then the Sabres would move down from 7 to 10. New Jersey would go 6 to 9. Anaheim 5 to 8. Los Angeles 4 to 7, and so on and so forth. That would be the worst case scenario. Sabres right now currently have a 6.5% chance of winning the number one overall pick in the NHL draft, which is expected to be Alexi Lafreniere. Lafreniere is a very good player. If you didn't get the chance to see my piece at WGR550.com, feel free to go check it out there. Kind of glance over the top three prospects that are available, plus some extra names that could be in consideration for the top three, because you never know. There could be a team that doesn't value one of the top three picks as much as a guy that they also have on their board, and they could pick some other guy. So I kind of break down some of those guys in this article as well, but you're more than welcome to check it out at WGR550.com. Alexi Lafreniere is obviously your number one prospect this year, consensus number one by many, many people that follow the NHL draft. He's, in my books, he is the number one guy. And when I watch Lafreniere, he is a guy that can do it all. He's very sound defensively. Obviously, could probably use a little more work, but he's definitely sound there. But it's his offensive game that is just above everyone else in this draft class. He can skate well. He can play with the puck well. He handles the puck extremely well. He's strong with the puck. His passing is great. His shot is good. The level of play that he takes his game up to get to where he needs to be is top-notch. Just everything about Alexis Lafreniere would be a really nice ad for the Buffalo Sabres if they happen to win the number one overall pick. Because guess what? The last time that I hosted the NHL Draft Lottery show was in 2018. The Sabres obviously were the worst team in the NHL, so they had the best odds to win the draft lottery. But still, I was here. Jody Biasi was here. He was producing that show. And we had talked to Steve Cordianos right before the draft lottery, an hour beforehand. We did the show. And guess what? The results were Sabres won the draft lottery, Carolina won second, and I think Montreal was third. Yes, because they took Kotkaniemi. Could be a similar situation here. I'm here. We're here until 9 o'clock, unless, you know, the Sabres win one of the top three picks and maybe things kind of change and, you know, we get phone calls, we get reaction. You're more than welcome to join us at any time this evening. Phone lines are completely wide open. Text line is wide open. But we were here 2 years ago. Everything kind of played into the same role here, and the Sabres won the draft lottery, so maybe there's some luck there. And even if the Sabres don't win the first pick and they don't get Lafreniere, they could have the second pick, they could have the third pick, and I'd be just as happy. Because picks 2 and 3, in my article on the website, obviously I have Quinton Byfield at number 2. Really good two-way centerman down the middle. Big-bodied centerman. Probably could use another year in the OHL to kind of refine his game. I don't know if he's quite, frankly, NHL ready yet. Ready to contribute at least. And Craig Button, he was on with the Instigators a little while back, maybe a little around a month ago. And he brought up the point that I think we should be stressing a lot is that, yes, while there may be a player in this draft class that could play in the NHL, are they NHL ready to the point where they're ready to contribute right away? They could be NHL ready in terms of, hey, you're making the jump because we don't want you to play in college. We don't want to play in juniors. Like a Jack Hughes last year. Jack Hughes didn't really contribute much. Capocacco with the Rangers didn't really contribute much. Kirby Dach with the Blackhawks didn't really contribute much. But they played in the NHL as a developmental sort of way into the league. Whereas a guy like, you know, some of the other players drafted in the past, like, you know, Rasmus Dahlin, obviously, number one overall in 2018. He was drafted, and he was able to jump into the NHL right away and contribute. One of the best defensive rookies that the league has had in a really long while. Other guys, such as like Austin Matthews, Jack Eichel, Connor McDavid, all of those guys have been able to be NHL ready and contribute right away in the NHL, whereas a lot of these other guys might be developmental. Quinton Byfield would be a developmental sort of thing, where if you play him in the NHL right now, that's a developmental thing. You're getting him ready for years to come in the NHL. You're probably not expecting him to win the Calder Trophy as the Rookie of the Year. Tim Stützle is another one. He's my number 3. Is he ready to play in the NHL next year? I wouldn't bank on it. He could, but, you know, certainly as a smaller guy, could probably build up a little more muscle playing another year in Germany, playing professionally there. And then you've got other guys in the mix, Marco Rossi, Lucas Raymond, Alexander Holtz, Jamie Drysdale, I also have here. All of those guys could be in that mix for especially like number 3. Because we could see Byfield and or Stützle going number 2. And then number 3 is really the wild card because it could be one of those other guys. It could be a Marco Rossi. It could be a Lucas Raymond. It could be an Alexander Holtz, excuse me. Or it could be Jamie Drysdale, the defenseman. But all of these guys certainly, you know, might be more of like the developmental type of role if they to start out in the NHL. And Button made a great point where he said Marco Rossi is probably the next best guy that's NHL ready in terms of producing at the NHL right away. And Marco Rossi is a guy that is only 5'9 and 179 pounds. But he was playing at a very high level in Switzerland just before he came over to North America to play in the OHL. And in the OHL level, he had the strength to be able to you know, play the puck well, stay on his feet, do all the right things to make plays. So he might be NHL ready to produce right away. But in the time being, it's Lafreniere. Lafreniere is the number one prize. He is the one that's going to be the number one overall pick. It should be Lafreniere. And I wrote this in the article at the website that he's not labeled as a generational talent, but I believe that he is as close as you can be to a generational talent. Now, I don't know what that possibly is. I don't know what that word is. I know that a lot of people, you know, kind of vary on like, oh, what's a generational talent? You know, some people like to say, well, Jack Eichel was labeled as a generational talent and he's not really a it's a difficult way to kind of explain it just because I think Jack Eichel is in that echelon. It's like he's almost in the same category as Lafreniere is. He's on that cusp. He's right there, almost ready to kind of be that quote unquote generational player. But will he ever get there? I don't know. He's as close as you can get to being deemed generational. Certainly a franchise player, 100%. If the Sabres end up with him, they'll have three franchise players in Eichel, Lafreniere, and Dahlin, which is pretty darn good if they can only win. Hey, maybe they start winning. Kevin Adams gets his first win as a general manager as the draft lottery. Doesn't have to be number one. It could be number two. It could be number three. Either one of those, all three of those picks, I'll take. The Sabres winning that. I will take it in a heartbeat. If they win one of the top three picks, that's fine by me. But Lafreniere is the prize. He's number one. He's going to go to the NHL next year, and he's going to be able to contribute. He went to the World Juniors and was exceptionally good at the World Juniors playing for Canada. Was the MVP and stood out amongst everybody. Even with a knee injury, he was able to come back from that knee injury and still put up the production that he did. In the Canadian Hockey League and the Quebec Major Juniors, it didn't seem like anybody could stop him. Get this. In his first year, or in his second year, I should say, or past 2 years, let me just go to the past 2 years, because this is pretty relevant. Past 2 years, he's put up 114 goals and 183 assists for 297 points in 173 games. Actually, this is the past three seasons. My apologies. Over the past three seasons, he's put up that many points in that many games. As a 16-17-year-old, he was named the QMJHL MVP and the Canadian Hockey League MVP with 105 points in 61 games. Impressive. Yeah, absolutely. This year, in 52 games played, he had 112 points, 35 goals, 77 assists, and became the second player in history of the Canadian Hockey League to not only win the QMJHL award as back-to-back and also the Canadian Hockey League MVP back-to-back. You only know the player to do that? Sidney Crosby. That's some praise. That is some high praise for a kid who, from the wing, can be a franchise player and maybe even be a generational player if, when he gets to the NHL, he produces at a very high rate. Not sure if he'll do that. He's close, though. I think he's close. Again, I think he's as close to his generational as you can get. And again, the generational tag kind of gets thrown around everywhere, but, you know, it is what it is. So it's Lafreniere, then Byfield, then Stützle. Stützle is a smaller player, but he's very crafty. He's very quick on his feet. He handles the puck extremely well. He's a gifted passer. He can score. He was the German Hockey League, the Deutsche Eishockey Liga, if I said that right, for people that speak German, please feel free to correct me. Great first season. He had 7 goals and 27 assists for 34 points in 41 games. Was the rookie of the year, hands down. He played well at the World Juniors. And actually, he did grow a little bit. I think in his Elite Prospects page earlier in the year, he was listed at like 5'9", 5'10", or something like that. He's 6 foot, 187 pounds now. He's gotten bigger over the year. He's gotten a little stronger. Obviously playing in professional hockey in Germany helps. Because you are playing against some of the professional players that played in the NHL. There are plenty of them over there. And Quentin Byfield, obviously, he's drawn comparisons to Evgeny Malkin, which is some very high praise. Because Evgeny Malkin is a very, very good player in the league. Hall of Famer. He would be a number one center on most other teams in the NHL. And obviously, he's only number two in Pittsburgh because Sidney Crosby's there. One of the top three picks would be a nice get. And obviously, I listed some of the other guys on my article on the website just because, obviously, with the Sabres picking at seventh, they could stay at seventh. They could move to eighth. But some of these guys could be there. I look at a guy like Alexander Holtz as a guy that, you know, some teams might see as a higher-up guy and other teams might see him not, you know, falling, not being the value that they want him at. Holtz might have the best shot in this entire draft class. He's kind of reminiscent of maybe like an Elias Pettersson, however you want to say it. Elias Pettersson. Very good shot. Skates well. His speed improved over the year. His offensive game is at a good level. Whereas, you know, Lucas Raymond, who, you know, those two kind of draw some comparisons. Raymond's more of the playmaker. He's electrifying in that way. He wants the puck on his stick constantly. And I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but going into this year's draft class, Lucas Raymond kind of reminds me of like a Jesse Puljujärvi in his draft class. Maybe not as electric as Puljujärvi, because let's be honest, Puljujärvi in his draft year was extremely electric. I mean, he was a guy that was playing at the World Juniors as a 16-year-old, I believe, and was just throwing pucks on net, taking shots left and right, and was electrifying, wanted the puck on his stick. I see a lot of that in Raymond, too. And I want to see that in guys. I want to see guys with the puck on their stick wanting to make a play, wanting to make an impact on the game. And I see that in Raymond's game. Of course, I mentioned Marco Rossi, just a very solid guy down the middle. He was the OHL's most outstanding player, won the Red Tilson Trophy. That's what Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen won last season, won that with Sudbury. This year it was Marco Rossi. And then obviously Jamie Drysdale is the best defenseman in this draft. Do the Sabres need another defenseman? I'm not too sure about that, but certainly a guy that will be heavily looked at by many teams in the top 10. But of course, the Sabres, again, number seven, they pick number seven. They could pick 7, 8, 9, 10, or in the top three. But here's what I want to talk about before we go to break. And this is something that maybe I'll bring up with Steve Cornianos and get his thoughts on the format of the draft and you know, if he thinks it's a good idea or whatnot. I just don't understand the NHL's reasoning as to why they needed to have the eight teams that are going to be losing in the qualifying round to be part of this draft lottery. They're already playing more hockey this season. They get the chance. They get that opportunity to return to play and get that chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. I get it. If they lose, they're done. But what is the difference between that and playing in a playoff game? This is the best of five series you're actually playing in. These teams don't need to be part of the draft lottery this year. You increase the odds for all the other seven teams that are in it and should be in it because they aren't going to be playing even further. You increase the odds and you make things real fun. You could draft the top three in the... I don't care. But I think the NHL's decision to do it this way is stupid. It's idiotic. And mind you, I've actually been very happy with how the NHL has kind of put everything together. That tone may change as everything kind of gets going with the season, but as of right now, I really like what the NHL has done overall with how they've kind of put together this format and how they're going to return to play. And everything kind of seems promising as of right now as to the possibility of them actually getting back on the ice. I think this draft lottery format is very stupid. I think it's really, really disappointing that you have to worry about the other teams that are in the qualifying round. I just don't see a reasoning as to why they need to be part of it. They're going back to play. They're going to be on the ice, having that chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. And here they are, part of this draft lottery. And I tell you what, if the Sabres fall back two or three spots because two of the teams behind them won one of the top three picks in the draft lottery, especially if it's all three, let's see, there are three computer screens in front of me. There's a TV here. I will throw my shoes at all of them. I will pick them up. I will throw at all of them. I won't break them. I'll My wife could attest to me, I'm a terrible throw.
You don't have three shoes. You can't throw.
I'll pick my shoes up and throw them again.
Don't do that. Listen, people work hard to clean the studio.
Yeah, that's true. They don't want my stinky feet smell being all over the stuff. I'll just be disappointed, and you'll hear it from me afterwards. So there's that. All right, 803-0551, 888-552-550. Coming up after this break, we'll talk with Steve Cornianos. He's at The Draft Analyst on Twitter. He writes for The Sporting News, some good draft content. We'll get more thoughts from him. And, of course, the draft lottery will come up shortly after 8 o'clock. We'll carry that live here on WGR, and we'll get your reactions coming up later on in the show. Brayton Wilson here, Corey Griswold producing here on WGR. Okay, I need a refresher here, Corey. What theme song is this here?
So it depends. It's either the $25,000 or $100,000 pyramid, depending on inflation.
Okay. Inflation. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah, it sounded familiar to me, and then I was just like, wait a minute, where does this come from?
You don't really see it on TV anymore.
No.
I don't think it's on like the buzzer random game show network.
They had a reboot of it with Michael Strahan as the host of it, and
sure.
it kind of flopped.
Why didn't it do so well?
I mean, because probably nobody in today's world really cared. Michael Strahan was the host.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Welcome back here, WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you for our live NHL Draft Lottery coverage. And joining me here on the Wester Hotline, we're going to be joined by Steve Cornianos. You can find him on Twitter at The Draft Analyst. He's also a contributor at thedraftanalyst.com and also for the Sporting News, covering the NHL and doing some draft stuff there. Steve, it's been a while since we've last talked. I appreciate you coming on this evening and taking some time to talk some hockey with us.
Yeah, anytime, Brayton. Listen, it's a big night for the Sabres right now. I wouldn't say it's a make-or-break night, but they could maybe use a little bit of good luck considering what's happened the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, certainly this time here in Buffalo has been kind of a roller coaster ride with emotions just of the firing of Botterill, and then Adams comes in and he's forced to fire most of the people on the staff. And today they hired their director of scouting and made Jason Nightingale, the director of analytics, their assistant director of scouting. So certainly a wild roller coaster here in Buffalo. But obviously, Steve, the Sabres could luck out a little bit winning the number one overall pick. I know the last time that you and me did this on the draft lottery night was 2018. They had the best odds to win the lottery. They won. They got Rasmus Dahlin. Now tonight, it's Alexis Lafreniere that is the number one consensus pick in this draft. I just want to get your thoughts because I see Lafreniere as kind of like a guy who is definitely a franchise player, can be the face of your franchise, but he's almost, to me, he almost seems like he's on the fringe of potentially becoming that type of generational player. I want to get your thoughts on Lafreniere and where you kind of see his outlook for the NHL moving forward.
Well, first you have to start off with the fact that there are a lot of similarities between Lafreniere's pre-draft resume and Sidney Crosby's pre-draft resume, not only because they both played for Rimouski in the Quebec League, but they're the only two players that won the CHL Player of the Year Award twice before getting drafted. So that's one thing. There's a lot of big-time players have come out of the CHL that didn't have that or don't have that distinction. In addition, he was the leading scorer at the World Junior Championships. He was the top scorer in the MVP at the Ivan Hlinka tournament in his draft minus two season. So the superlatives are there. And then, of course, when you watch him play, where he's a physical, talented, finesse winger, basically. He's not a center. He's a winger. He's a very rare breed, especially in this day and age where you have this menacing type of a player. But he's also got the hockey IQ. He's got the smarts. He's got the compete level, which is what so many coaches and really fan bases as well. You want to see your players play hard and not kind of rely on just their God-given talents. He really goes out there every shift and tries to become the best player, and that's kind of like what Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin and Connor McDavid are. So I won't go as far as to call him a Crosby-type player just yet, because Crosby was just ridiculous in his 2 years at Rimouski in terms of point production, almost like I'm on a Mario Lemieux kind of a level.
Right.
Whereas what Lafreniere did, though, still very impressive. And, of course, going to the World Juniors in your draft year and dominating it and being the MVP, that's kind of a big deal when the entire hockey world is watching.
Steve Cornianos, at the Draft Analyst on Twitter, joining us here on the Western Hotline, talking about the 2020 NHL Draft. So obviously, it's kind of a toss-up after Lafreniere. Obviously, Lafreniere consensus number one. You have him number one on your rankings list, your final draft rankings list. A lot of others have him on their number one. Number two is an interesting one because Quentin Byfield was a guy who was thought to contend for Lafreniere at one point, maybe at the start of the season, to take over at one number one. But now it seemed like that he's going to be the number two guy, but also Tim Stützle is there competing with him for that number two slot. You know, if you had to take one over the other, or, you know, just comparing those two or contrasting those two, what stands out about both Byfield and Stützle, and what makes them special?
Well, I have Byfield at number two and Stützle number three, and it's very close, like you said. It's the first time that we're actually having a discussion for number two in quite some time. If you go back to 2015, we knew it was going to be Jack Eichel. In 2016, we knew it was going to be Patrick Laine. And even with Dodger, especially the Colvin 2018 and so on and so forth. So this is the first time we're actually having this discussion where the number one is solidified. Now we're talking about number two. Stützle is basically an explosive, dynamic, fun kid to watch. He can play center or wing. He, for all intents and purposes, he dominated the German Elite League as a teenager, playing in a top six role for a very good team in Adler Mannheim, whereas Byfield is basically...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A power center. He's almost 6'5". And he's an August birthday, so he's not even done growing yet, probably. You're looking at his max, he'll be about 6'5", 225, but he could skate. He's got excellent vision. He's a playmaker, and he carried a very thin Sudbury team this year. He didn't really dominate the World Juniors the way you kind of the way Lafreniere did. But then again, Canada doesn't really invite the really young 17-year-olds to that tournament, so the fact that he even made it should go in his favor. So if we're going to talk about pure upside, to me, you need that dominant big center. You need like a Malkin type, and that's exactly what Byfield is. Maybe not as demonstrative, maybe not as physical as you'd like him to be, but he's definitely a tough player, whereas Stützle, he's the guy you pay to go see. I mean, he's just a lot of fun to watch. He's explosive and open ice. He makes those around him better, just like Byfield, but you really can't go wrong with either one. I mean, it's just really versus you have the European import who's a little bit slighter versus the big power typical Canadian center. So I got to give the edge to Byfield on top of the fact that he's also a two-way center. He kills penalties. He's really good in the face-off circle. So slightest of edges to Byfield.
So obviously with those two, I kind of talked about it a little bit here where, you know, Byfield I think needs another year to kind of continue to grow his game and to kind of continue to build into that type of two-way centerman that, you know, was kind of expected him. I know some people have compared him to Evgeny Malkin. I'm not personally a guy who likes to make those type of comparisons, like NHL comparisons to a prospect. But looking at Stützle is certainly interesting because he played so well in Germany last year. He's still a little undersized. He's continuing to grow a little bit, but he was dynamic in that way, playing at a top level in Germany. Do you think either of those guys could be NHL ready, and whether it's contributing or playing more of a developmental role? Just what are your thoughts there?
If you asked me last year, I'd say both would be, but after seeing Jack Hughes and Kaapo Kakko, who we all thought that they were going to be NHL ready and called the trophy favorites, but they both had a lot of ups and downs in their rookie seasons. I saw some analytics a deep dive into Kako and said he was the worst forward in the NHL. Obviously, he's only 18 years old. But I think that it also depends on which teams do the drafting. If you look at all those teams in the lotteries, maybe outside of the Sabres and the Ducks, they're all just pouring out the seams with prospects, and they're more than willing to play these kids. So maybe not as much pressure necessarily to bring them up right away. But I think, listen, physical maturity isn't that big of a deal anymore like it used to be. So even with Stutzla's about 5'11", 6', 1.75, I don't think it'll be a problem with him. Plus, he, you know, the German league's pretty physical. Not as physical, obviously, as one of the North American leagues, but it, you know, they hit, and he did a lot of good work in the corners there. So obviously, it'll be dependent upon the teams that do the drafting. If I would make that decision, though, I'd say that both would be ready, but definitely want to shelter them in the beginning. But I agree with what you said about Byfield. He may need another year in junior. He was pretty good this year, about top 10 in scoring, or at least points per game. But you want to see him have a Lafreniere type of a dynamic season where he's the unquestionable top player in the junior circuit.
Steve Corianos, NHL draft analyst, at The Draft Analyst on Twitter, joins us here on the Wester Hotline. So we got the top three out of the way. You know, those are the top three prizes that a lot of those teams that are hoping to win a draft pick in the top three of the draft lottery tonight, those are your guys you're focusing on. Who is next on this list? I mean, because, you know, you got your number one in Lafreniere, no doubt. You got your 2-3. Those, they're kind of maybe in their own category. But who's right after the top three guys? Who is, I know you have Cole Perfetti number four. You got Marco Rossi number five. But who do you see kind of coming off the board, or, you know, maybe a little earlier in that earlier range there? And just give your thoughts on some of those guys that are available.
Well, really, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Once you get past Byfield and Stutzla, you really can't go wrong in any direction. It's just a matter of personal preference. It's a matter of what you value more. The reason why I have Rossi and Perfetti there is their hockey IQ is just off the chart. The thing is, though, is that the players I have thereafter, Rodion Amirov, Lucas Raymond, Alexander Holtz, these are wingers with brilliant hockey IQs, but they could also score. Then you have the two defensemen, Jake Sanderson and Jamie Drysdale, one a lefty being Sanderson, the other being a righty in Drysdale, both very gifted, high hockey IQs. And then you even throw the goalie into the mix, Yaroslav Askarov, who's one of the top goaltending prospects we've seen in the last 20-something years. So it really can't go wrong with this group. You're going to come away with a home run, at least in terms of draft resumes, what they've done and what their upside projects them to be. You even have a big two-way center, Anton Lundell from Finland, who some kind of compare a little bit to Alexander Barkov, although I don't think Lundell is probably all that creative. He's more of a scorer and a two-way type. So, I mean, in that regard, I have Perfetti and Rossi there, but really, if you're picking five or six or seven, any need that you have will be addressed if that's what you want. I mean, of course, you could use the best player available, and teams, obviously, their definitions of best player available vary. But from a need standpoint, every position can be is represented in that, let's say, 4 to 11 range. So, you know, if you want a pure goal scorer, you got Perfetti, you got Holtz. You want a two-way type, you got Amirov, you got Lundell. You want a franchise goalie, you got Askarov. You want a Mitch Marner type, a playmaking winger who could also snipe it, you got Raymond. So it's a really top-heavy draft. I really think that – I say this usually every year, but it's actually a good year to be bad. It's a good year to have that top 10 pick. But I really can't. But there are some guys that are predicting in that top 10, like Seth Jarvis and Jack Quinn, who a lot of people are very high on. And they might be considered to be in that elite group of forwards. So it's actually pretty deep. It's a pretty deep upper half. And I would say once you go out of that top three, though, no one really knows how it's going to go.
And obviously, kind of spinning off your last answer, so the Sabres have the 7th overall pick. Let's say that they're picking anywhere between 7 and 10. Obviously, 10 is the worst-case scenario because you're having all three of the teams that, you know, made the qualifying round, got that chance to play. That's something I want to ask you about in a little bit, too. But what happens if the Sabres end up in that range of 7 to 10? They need a second-line center. That is their most pressing need behind Jack Eichel. They had it in Ryan O'Reilly. They traded him. They tried to have Casey Mittelstadt fill that role. Didn't work out so much, and maybe it will work out down the road, but obviously not right now. But they need a second-line center. Are you looking, maybe if you're the Sabres, to trade that pick, or would you hold on, draft one of these top guys in the top 10, and take that opportunity to develop that guy and see if he works out in the next couple of years?
Well, there's a couple of things to consider. Number one, they drafted that second-line center type last year in Dylan Cousins, and he could play wing as well, and he checked a lot of blocks. He's that enthusiastic, tough Western Canadian. Well, he's not from Western Canada, but he's from the Northwest Territories, but he played in the WHL, so he's exactly the kind of guy you want. He's like a Ryan O'Reilly type. The problem is that he's young, so you got to wait to see what he develops into. The other issue is that they didn't hit a home run with Alex Nylander. They ended up trading him, and he was a first-round pick, a high top-10 pick in 2016. And the Casey Mittelstadt thing, we still don't know. I think we might have to wait another year or two to see what he develops into, but he's clearly not ready to take over that role yet. So how do the Sabres view this draft? Remember, they got a whole new staff. So are they viewing this through the lens of, let's draft the big home run, we're picking at number 7 or 8? Do they draft the need? I know goaltending, they have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who's a great, great goaltending prospect. But it wouldn't hurt if you maybe had a little bit of competition to that and added a guy like Askarov. But then again, they need speed on the wings. They need they need finishers. So a guy like Raymond or Holtz would fit into that. Whereas Perfetti, I think Perfetti's a little bit more like Casey Mittelstadt in terms of his style. Like, he's not a super explosive skater, but he's more of a elite playmaker and has that wicked shot. So I could see that being a fit. But, you know, Marco Rossi, he's smaller, but he's a two-way type as well. He's got brilliant hockey sense. So I would not really go about it from a need standpoint. But then again, the Sabres, you know, their prospect pool, I'd say it leans more heavily towards the defensive side, where you got Luukkonen and you got Ryan Johnson, you got Matias Samuelsson, you got Jacob Bryson. So maybe start, you know, this is a long-term process, start beefing up on the wings, or maybe try to make up for the mistakes made with Alex Nylander. And if you want to call Mittelstadt a mistake, you know, you could look at it from that way as well.
So, Steve, obviously I know you haven't done your final mock draft, but let's say the Sabres are picking 7th and everything kind of stayed the same. All the picks are where they are, and Sabres pick 7th overall, and they select?
I would take Alexander Holtz. I just think he's the perfect complement to a guy like Jack Eichel. I know that you guys need that second-line center, but you already got the guy like Cousins in it. With Holtz, he's a low-maintenance sniper. He's got the best shot release and accuracy of anyone in that top 10, and he played in the Elite League in Sweden for 2 straight years now, so if you watch him play with U-Gardens, he's just a low-maintenance sniper. It's exactly what you want. He knows how to get open. His stick is always at the ready. And so if you look at all the really good Swedish forwards out of this year's crop, and there are a lot of them, pound for pound, he had the best year. I think he had the third or fourth highest under-18 scoring average in the Swedish Elite League history, and two of the guys ahead of him were Peter Forsberg and Marcus Naslund. So Jeff Skinner, we know he's going to be there for quite a while. He didn't have the kind of year we expected him to have, and of course you got Victor Olofsson as a lefty, but that right shot sniper is something the Sabres could use, and I do think he'll be a best player available type at that slot.
And last thing I want to ask you, Steve, is just your thoughts overall on this draft lottery format. Do you think that it's a good format? Do you think that it should only be the 7 teams? And also on top of that, what are your thoughts about the 2014 playoff format coming up here moving forward, and if you think that it's actually going to be able to get done?
Well, I love the playoff format because I'm a hockey fan, and anytime you add more teams to the playoffs, I'm all about that. And I'm an old school guy, but anytime you add extra teams to the playoffs, we always complained about it with baseball, and now we're glued to the TV sets every time you get a wild card playing game or what have you. So I support that. As far as this phase 1, phase 2 stuff with the lottery, it's really just to attract attention. The NHL needs to kind of capitalize on the lull that there are no other leagues playing right now. So what I think they're trying to do is have 2 possible big time prime time events. One being the phase 1 lottery. If you have a playing team win one of those slots, oh, look at that. You have another excuse to have hundreds of thousands of hockey fans glued to their TV sets. The NHL needs to make money. They lost a lot of money because of the COVID-19 issue. So I really feel that it's not necessary to make people wait again for another lottery. They should have just waited for the play-in rounds to end and have a regular, typical lottery. But, this is why they have marketing types. And from a TV ad revenue standpoint, gaining new fans, this might work out for them. So, look, we're talking about it, so clearly it's working.
Steve, I want to take the time to thank you for joining me here this evening. Appreciate your input, as always. Hope you and your family are safe and well during these times, and really hopefully we get the chance to see some hockey and talk again sometime soon about actually hockey being played on the ice and all that. So thanks again for taking the time, and be safe.
Yeah, thanks, Brayden. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Steve Cornianos, the at the draft analyst on Twitter, joining me here on the Wester Hotline, getting some thoughts on the NHL draft. We're late to the break, I understand. Ben in Buffalo, please hold on. I'll try to get your call in when we come back, because obviously the draft lottery is going to set to take place shortly after 8. So we'll try to squeeze in your phone call, and then we'll also get the draft lottery in and get more thoughts on kind of the outcome. And whoever wins the draft lottery, who's going to kind of be in line to get a really star player in Alexis Lafreniere. Brayden Wilson here with you on our draft lottery coverage here on WGR. Oh, always love a little bit of Coach's Corner. Great theme song. Corey Griswold's producing, by the way, today. Great to have Corey back. 803-0551-888-550-2550. We're going to get to the draft lottery coming up here in a little bit. It'll be shortly after 8 o'clock when everything kind of airs. By the way, texter who wrote in listening to the draft show while in San Antonio, Texas. Love hearing about hockey and my hometown team, Go Sabres. Thanks again for listening in. And if you text in on the text line, it's now 716-803-0550. Feel free to tag your name in there, and I'll be sure to throw that out there and pass along. Let's head out to the phone lines, get a quick phone call in from Ben in Buffalo. Ben, thanks for holding on, man. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Thanks. Good. Thanks for calling.
All right. So I understand our odds of winning the first pick, but what about second, third, 10th even?
Ooh, yeah. This is just me being not a great host and preparing for this, Ben. I apologize, but I'll be sure to get that up and look for it, and I'll get that answer when we come back from the break. Thanks for the call, though. I appreciate you asking that, because there is a chart that's kind of been thrown out there, so I will be sure to look that up, get that for you when we come back from the break, and get that answer, and then we'll get to the draft lottery. So we'll step aside right now, get our time out. When we come back, we'll get you the NHL draft lottery live coming up here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.